your fault. Baby, it's not mine. Not chance we're crossing the same roads all at one time. Even if you see it coming, no time to beg out gracefully. One thing I know for sure, be no doubt when you see you are. Grass make the heaven the middle of it. Grass make the heaven the middle. We are. Grass make the heaven the middle of it. Right on schedule.
The secret truth. Through forgiveness we awaken, transforming information and knowledge into wisdom. And now our co-hosts, Charlotte Littlefield and George Butler.
Welcome to The Secret Truth. I'm George Butler. Along with me this evening is Tony Gosling from Bristol, England. Welcome to our program, Tony Gosling.
Hi there, George. Thanks for having me on again.
Well, I tell you what, you've really been looking hard at this this Russian gas poisoning, and now we have this Middle East war underway. What do you think, Tony?
Well, I would actually draw back from calling it a Middle East war, although, of course, it's been a proxy war since 2011. Since Gaddafi was defeated, Gaddafi was executed. Gaddafi was executed with a bayonet up the backside by a mob. And that was the way that NATO decided that he should end his life, for showing, I suppose, because Gaddafi effectively put two fingers up to imperialism, shipped out of the country in a bloodless coup the puppet leaders of Libya, and that was the way Libya ended. But then there was all these fighters, mercenaries in the employ of the West, through all sorts of covert channels, a lot of it through Saudi Arabia, a lot of it through Swiss banks like UBS, funding these people, giving them their salaries, etc. And so they were then shipped over to Syria. At that point, I think what we had was, they're still calling it a civil war, all the time on the Western mainstream press. And that fundamental description of what's been happening since 2011 in Syria is a flat, blatant military lie being told to the public in order to simply deceive people as to what's really been going on in Syria.
Right, exactly. I have a friend that's on the Democratic side, and this morning we were talking about this, and I said, yeah, hold it just a second. Hillary and Obama got us into both Libya and Syria. See what I mean?
And I met the guy who funded both of those.
Right.
That bag man, I suppose you'd call him. The guy that was sort of follows the gang of criminals around with a big bag of cash, which will help them out in various situations if they smash somewhere up to give some money to the guy that owns it. And that was James A. Johnson, former Goldman Sachs director. And I met him at the Bilderberg conference. He was the guy that funded the campaigns for both Hillary and Obama. So these people really should be being exposed all the time for the last 10, 20, 30 years by our mainstream press. The people who basically are the employers of our senior politicians, the people who put up the money to get them in office, of course, expect something in return, George.
Right. You know, it's a big money pyramid, isn't it, Tony? You've been looking at this for a number of years, and boy, gosh, you're giving some insights now that are right on. You know, you're right on top of this.
I hope so. I mean, this latest development, which is these military strikes, I think is, to me, it's not totally unexpected, but I would just say one thing. I mean, what annoys me more than anything else, George, is some of the most obvious questions, the sort of things that will be in the back of many people's minds, in the front of their minds maybe, as they've had a few pints tonight down the local pub here across Britain, in the cities, in the countryside. Questions will be in people's minds. Questions will be being discussed. People will be scratching their heads. These are the questions that are not being asked in the mainstream press at all in the West. And this is the journalist's job to ask these questions, to raise these questions. One, for example, is we've seen apparently three different chemical weapons facilities bombed last night. Now, does it make sense to bomb chemical weapons facilities? That's question number one. Or nuclear facilities. Does it make sense to bomb these things? And does it not make sense, first of all, to show to the world that it is a nuclear facility, to show to the world that it is, you've got evidence that it is a chemical weapons facility? What would happen if you've got a concentration of chemical weapons that then a smart bomb arrives in the middle of it, George?
Right, exactly. You could kill thousands in the area, right?
And you've got no idea how many people you could kill, and it depends which way the wind's blowing as
right.
to how many people die. Now, this has not been asked at all by the press, and of course it should have been right across the world. I'm sure in some parts of the world it is being asked, is this a wise thing to do? Of course it's not a wise thing to do. It's a reckless thing to do. And I think really what it does, it just indicates how incredibly reckless the leadership of the West. And effectively, we're talking really about NATO here, plus Israel. Obviously, Israel's a major player. They've been the first country to pat Trump, the pat Theresa May, and pat Macron on the back and say, well done, after last night's attack. And in fact, they were the spearhead. Last weekend, we saw they were the first people to react to this alleged chemical attack by bombing from the Lebanese airspace, by sending missiles into an Iranian, what I think was an Iranian air base in the middle of Syria. So this is Israeli-led, this whole project, and they're using their political might, the political clout of AIPAC and people like that, and we've got the same thing here in Britain. We've got effectively Conservative Friends of Israel, this kind of thing, Labour Friends of Israel, millions of pounds being spent by the Israeli embassy in the Labour Party, bribing people to go along with the Israeli line, and also to try and, as I said, last year was revealed by Al Jazeera, actually remove the defence minister from power because he wasn't 100% behind Israel. That sort of action in Britain has now paid off militarily for the Israelis. But that's actually, I think, really what's behind this. It's the Israel lobby right across the Western world that is really stands to benefit because they're the neighbours of Syria, and they're the ones that actually, they don't really feel threatened, I don't think, by the Syrians, but they would like to establish their control over the Golan Heights. This is one thing, for example, with the Murdoch Empire, Fox News over there, the Sky News, we've got obviously the major newspapers in Britain, the Sun and the Times, other newspapers around the world in Israel, for example, Murdoch control. Murdoch also has a massive stake in Genie Oil, which is this company which has concessions in the Golan Heights, the occupied Golan
yes,
Heights.
Yes, exactly.
So then you can see, here is a media empire which has got a major interest in the Western powers coming in to subdue one of Israel's neighbours whom Israel has stolen land from and has now got oil concessions on that land. So, I mean, none of this, of course, is being dissected by the mainstream press at all. Also, of course, no votes in Parliament here in the UK, or I don't think over there in the Congress or the Senate either, to back this action, and no votes at the UN Security Council to back it either. So it is the act of criminals, of war criminals, the same sort of war criminals that brought us Iraq and the weapons of mass destruction there. It's a very similar sort of case, George, I think, isn't it? Weapons of mass destruction. They love to say this. And on the BBC's main Question Time programme, we had a plucky young lad from Liverpool saying, look, we know you're making this up. You're not going to pull the wool over our eyes a second time. We've seen this all in Iraq. And that was on national television last Thursday evening.
Right, exactly. Robert Perry, he passed away now, but he wrote an article that implicated a secret base out of Jordan on last year's attack in Syria, a gas attack. Do you recall that article? And he alluded...
Yeah, it's interesting how... I would suggest there is a very good reason why these attacks are happening at exactly the same time as last year. And that is because the British Parliament is in a recess. The British are on the holiday over the Easter holidays, and they have a couple of weeks of recess in the British Parliament. So it would mean recalling Parliament. Theresa May could easily have done that. The Liberal Democrats, leader Vince Cable, and the Labour leader, and Jeremy Corbyn, and the Scottish National Party, the three main parties in Westminster, opposition parties, all demanded recall Parliament, but Theresa May just simply ignored them. Now, remember, she's a Prime Minister who's running a minority government, just with a handful of DUP, Ulster, Democratic Unionist Party MPs propping up a government on an incredibly thin minority. She's running this country, so she hasn't got a mandate from the country, neither has she got a mandate from the Conservative Party, because she was never elected as the leader of the Conservative Party. This is why thousands and thousands, tens of thousands of Conservatives are simply not renewing their membership at the moment, because they've got no confidence that the party is representing their interests at all with a leader that they haven't been given a chance to elect since David Cameron left.
Right. Syria invited in the Organization for Prohibition of Chemical Weapons to examine that. And my complaint about Trump was he should have waited longer than he did, you know. He went too early on this.
The whole point of these operations is as Naomi Klein would describe, they're these kind of shock doctrine. The idea is that you show people very graphic images on the TV,
right.
These unverified. If you look in the small print at the bottom of the television screen, sometimes it actually is shoved off the bottom of the screen and you're not allowed to see it. It says unverified footage. And that is this footage of young children having water poured over their heads. Well, who's to say whether they're actually suffering from any kind of chemical weapons attack at all there? And also, most importantly, there is this completely counter-narrative which has not been described in the Western press whatsoever, which is the Jaish al-Islam terrorist group, which captured a whole bunch of Alawite prisoners. They were the last terrorists holding out in eastern Damascus, in eastern Ghouta. And all the other terrorists had decided to give up and get the buses and go. They were the only lot left, and they had a whole load of, they ran about 200 hostages. And it looks pretty obvious and pretty clear, if you bother to look, that these were the hostages, and many of whom had died in various different horrible, horrific circumstances, the bodies of which were put on display as part of this film which was shown on the TV and supposedly blamed on a WMD attack. By Assad. And also, Jaish al-Islam, this group, the Army of Islam, they were shown to have used chemical weapons 2 years ago in 2016 against the Kurds. So there's a precedent for that same group that was in the area at the time already using chemical weapons. Now,
yeah.
I don't know if the UN inspection is going to, an examination, an investigation is going to really get to the bottom of this fast, but I can tell you, that's my conclusion, is it's these same terrorists who used chemical weapons before who used them. So the idea is they've got to have a quick rush, as you said, a quick rush to do this after the media has seeded the public with this horrific
exactly.
And so they've got an excuse to go in there.
The Syrian army is reported to have captured some British military men in that area. Fars news agency is reporting that. And I don't know if that's been verified or not by anyone else.
Not sure, George, but it certainly has been reported as fact in Syria and Lebanon. Now, this is the problem, isn't it? Things which are being reported as fact in Syria and Lebanon are often not reported in Britain. And it's literally only today we've seen the first reporting of that story after the strike. So, you know, this is what happens, I think, is they hold back. I mean, what the media should be doing, any decent journalist should be saying, well, the other side are saying this. You know, they shouldn't just be saying what our own military is saying. You know, that we should be being given all the facts. In order for the press to do their job properly, in order for the politicians to make their mind up, in order for the people to know what's going on, you have to have both sides. If you haven't got both sides, all you've got is a mainstream media, mass media, brainwashing propaganda machine, George.
And you know that broadcast board of governors is taking over, and it's been worldwide already, and it's getting bigger, you know? I mean, propaganda is bad news. Well, they manage the Voice of America and all that. They're out of Washington.
Well, it's wonderful because every now and again, these idiotic, useless producers, TV producers, news producers, they get it all wrong, George. And what they do is get somebody on to speak live, who's not on message, as they did yesterday with this British general who was the general in charge of the British troops in Iraq. He came on to Sky News. And he was saying, well, actually there's no motive for Assad to be using chemical weapons in this particular place. And he just started to articulate, explain why, as a military general in the British Army, he would suggest that there
is no motive for using chemical weapons. Was he cut off?
Yeah, they gave you just under one minute to speak. And as soon as he started, this rather sheepish-looking Sky News presenter just said, well, I'm sorry, that's all we've got time for. She literally did not give him any time to explain his point, other than she realised that he wasn't saying something that the propaganda machine agreed with, even though he is an extremely authoritative person to be talking about what's going on. Having run the British Army in Iraq, for example, no, we're not interested in what he's got to say, let's just switch him off. So that is entertaining. I think these producers, George, are straight out of school, straight out of college, you know.
Right. Well, Ron Paul broadcast before the attack that he didn't believe the Syrian government did it either. And that's Ron Paul speaking. He's pretty, well, he's a pretty credible person.
I think this propaganda narrative is not really working very well anymore.
It's not. I mean, never mind the public.
It's not working with the armed forces, George. This is the interesting
thing. Exactly, Tony.
All these armed forces, including this British general I was just mentioning, they are very, very well aware of the weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. Because these are the guys that had to lose their friends. These are the guys that had to put their lives at risk themselves. And that saw some of the intelligence afterwards. That actually saw the confessions of the intelligence people and the writers and journalists who, after the Iraq war, something like, I think it was 2011 or so this came out, said, oh yeah, well, we just made this up. We were the guys that started the war. This is the sort of thing that the intelligence people and the generals, and the soldiers themselves, of course, you know, maybe veterans from Iraq, or Afghanistan, know this stuff. And so I think that the elite, you know, we're talking about here, the Anglo-Zionist Empire elite, have got a hell of a job in order to actually persuade the military to get involved in anything other than these small bunch of strikes we saw last night. Well, who knows, anyway. But the Skripal story that brought this whole thing on is totally falling to pieces. Every day we see more and more evidence that it's a load of nonsense. Apparently the Swiss chemists have had a look at the samples from the UK, from the OCPW,
right.
And they've said that this substance isn't even Novichok. It's another type of nerve agent, which you couldn't make up, really, George, could you? This is the Swiss chemist telling the world, of course the Western media doesn't want to listen to this, the story that we've been told all this time is just nonsense. So I find that pretty shocking and incredible that something like that can be fabricated. I mean, of course, this is why they rush into judgment. I think we always need to look at these sorts of attacks, whether it's 7/7 or 9/11. And every time there's a rush to judgment, we can almost assume that the opposite is true of what we're being told.
Exactly. Joel Skousen last night was on Alex's program, and he made a pretty good point about, he said that Trump doesn't know the weapon systems like the generals and military people, so when they present something to him, he doesn't know sometimes the right questions to ask. See what I mean?
Well, I don't actually think Trump is in charge. Yeah, I mean, Trump, as we keep hearing, never says no to a uniform. So he's in the sort of situation where he's
exactly.
His military advisors tend to do something, he'll do it. Mattis, I mean, you know, okay, so he was nicknamed Mad God.
Right.
Not Mad God. Mad Dog.
Mad Dog. Yeah.
He was, responsible for the butchery in Fallujah during the Iraq war. Horrendous stuff. But, I mean, I actually say he did seem a little bit more reasonable speaking yesterday. Saying, actually, you know, it doesn't look like we've got the military strategy lined up, and I'm not even sure that we've got the right intelligence. But so I imagine even he has had pressure put on him from wherever.
There were some reporters there that tried to follow up on him on the type of gas that it was. He didn't have a clear answer for any of that. And all they're saying is that they're very confident that Syria did this. But they don't give any public proof. There's no public proof.
Much of this is down to the Israel lobby and their strength in the military. So, I mean, when we had this assessment on the, I'm trying to think it was the 2nd of April, I think, where Trump made this announcement, we're pulling out of Iraq, sorry, pulling out of Syria. I mean, I was looking at thinking, wow, this is great.
Yeah.
Trump is actually asserting himself.
Right.
And I think people all over the world started to think, I mean, what did he say, something like $7 trillion we've spent on the Middle East, and we've got nothing back for it. Nothing is what he said. And so we're pulling out. Anyway, of course, the very next day he gets a call from Netanyahu. No, not.
Right now, Jared Kushner is being given credit for having gotten this attack done. From some sources are saying that you have to lay this on the door of 666 Fifth Avenue. And that's Jared Kushner's big building downtown Manhattan that they paid a fortune for, and they've got a real dangerous financial collapse going on there on that building.
Yeah, so I think the other thing to say about all of this is general. I mean, let's just take it back. Maybe stand on the moon for a minute, George, and try and step back from what's going on.
Yeah.
I mean, planet Earth. The West still thinks it can get regime change in Syria. This, I think, is pretty clear. Now, when I say the West, I mean the Anglo-Zionist elite. So we're talking really about the Israeli mafia. We're talking about some of the people who get money from these wars, that is to say, arms industry, the military industrial complex, and of course, their agents within the political structure, within the military structure. I think what we really need to see is the military intelligence people really do their job and to start to weed out some of these characters. And in a way, this attack we've seen over the weekend is an opportunity for them to do that. So they can look within their own structures, whether it's political or military, and see who it is that's pushing for these sorts of attacks, which could quite possibly lead to the deaths of thousands or tens of thousands of US Marines on board ships. Certainly the loss of, you know, stores of aircraft, for example, the possible even nuclear exchange at the end of that. There are quite clearly people within the structures in politics and in the military, and of course in the press, and of course maybe it's a journalist's job to out the key movers and shakers in the press who have been pushing for this, although of course largely this is all to do really. It's not really the journalist's fault, it's usually the faults of the producers and editors, the people behind the scenes, and the actual owners of the media. But it is a real opportunity for the military to get to grips with their own organisations to try and make sure that when the military are making decisions in the future, that they're not just throwing lives away and they're not giving anyone the opportunity to start a major conflict between East and West, which of course this could be the sort of, you know, opening shots of if it's not brought under control. And I think what's happened is the military here in the West has made sure that it's not going to go too much further than this. That's why we've had these fairly limited strikes, even though they are, I mean, on universities, for goodness sake, and the scientific establishment at Damascus University, this is, I don't think it's going to change anything, because they are not cooking up chemical weapons there. What they're probably doing, actually, in that place, is trying to analyse and have a look at some of the samples from Jaish al-Islam and from the White Helmet, and possibly from these British mercenaries or soldiers that were captured. They may be doing analysis, and that may be why that particular facility was hit, in order to try and destroy that evidence of Western culpability in last Saturday's alleged attack in Douma.
Yeah, and that Douma attack, the White Helmets are providing photographs of some big cylinders, one of them laying in the bed, you know. But there's a little damage to that cylinder, and it came through the roof of the building, supposedly. You know, I mean,
we know.
The
Pentagon has spent billions
on
actually, no, I think it's something like $800 million
or with Bell Pottinger and with other people on fabricating videos. So I think it's pretty obvious that that's what's happened here last Saturday.
Right, the white helmet.
Some form of fabrication of everything. And that's why we should be really, that's why I think, we should point the finger at the press, presenting this in the way they presented it, as effectively the spearhead of the war machine. That's what the media has become, and that's why I think the military has got to be very cautious of what their political masters are telling them, because the politicians are hypnotized by the press. They think they've got to do what the Daily Mail tells them, what the BBC tells them, what CNN tells them, in order to keep popular with those the press, And that's the real danger. The only people I can see who may be able to bring in a voice of reason here are the military, because they're the people who have to risk the lives of their friends, their men, their reputation, and also the national security of the countries they represent.
You know, this Mark Cohen, his attorney, personal attorney of Trump's, there's something that they uncovered there, the FBI did, that Trump does not want out. That could be some pressure exerted on Trump to go along with this attack, something like that.
This is no coincidence, is it?
No.
That Mark is being raided.
Right.
Because this gives the Israel lobby all of the evidence that they need in order to blackmail Trump. Effectively, that's what they can do. And right. that may well be why these strikes have happened last night, because Trump has been blackmailed into doing them. Now, what normally happens is the Brits say, oh, this was led by the Americans, and the Americans say, oh, this was led by the Brits. And actually, it's been led by the Israelis all along. Anyway,
exactly.
I'm really sorry. My show, if you want to have a listen to last night's show, we had a guy called Professor David Miller, who's a sociology professor from Bath University.
Okay.
And he's done a fascinating amount of research on Islamophobia and all sorts of things to do with the background of some of the people who've been the so-called experts over the last month or so spinning all this nonsense for war. So he's a fascinating guy. We were also discussing last night that Macron, of course, who used to work for the Rothschild Bank in France, he is trying now to bring all of the financial bank accounts of all of the mosques in France under government control. Now, this is extremely sinister. It's in parallel with the pogrom that was run against the Jews in Nazi Germany. It's the sort of thing you would have expected in the 1930s. I mean, it's effectively what Hitler did, is he brought the finances of the Jewish population under Nazi control. Exactly the same, and yet there's been hardly any reporting of it. So we were talking about that sort of thing, as well as this Thomson Reuters database, which is controlled by the wire services, which has got a whole load of people who are activists, and they call them terrorists, but no one's allowed to know if they're on the database or not. Thankfully, there's some people now suing Thomson Reuters, and it was him that pointed out to us last night that Jaish al-Islam have already been using chemical weapons, so it's not too amazing that they might have used them before. So anyway, that's thisweek.org.uk, George, if people want to check it out.
Tony.
And a whole bunch of links to the evidence, because that's the great thing you can do with the internet. We could waffle on all night, but you go onto the show page and there's the links to all the evidence of what we're saying.
Okay, well, we've got them up for you, and boy, you're really helpful, and we certainly appreciate everything you're doing over there, Tony.
Cheers, George, and you.
Okay. Cheers. Good night.
Lots of love to
Austin, Texas. Oh, Austin, Texas, man. Thank you. Thank you, Tony. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay.